airlines put a price tag on the volcanic ash crisis. The FAA cautions operators who would fly through volcanic ash. And it'll be a cold day at Eglin before the Dreamliner's done. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, April 26, 2010. Airlines are ready to put a price tag on the thousands of flight cancellations brought on by that volcano in Iceland, or as the industry contends, the knee-jerk reaction of government regulators to the ash cloud. IATA, the International Air Transport Association, estimates the crisis cost airlines more than $1.7 billion in the 6 days after the initial eruption. For the three-day period, April 17th through the 19th, it was costing $400 million a day. IATA Director General Giovanni Bisignani is calling for government bailouts, citing the post-9/11 bailouts here in the U.S. that many said at the time would set a bad precedent. Quote, "This crisis is not the result of running our business badly. It is an extraordinary situation, exaggerated with a poor decision-making process by national governments. The airlines could not do business normally. Government should help carriers recover the cost of this disruption," unquote. The FAA has weighed in officially on flight into volcanic ash with a special airworthiness information bulletin, specifically directed to operators using European airspace while the Icelandic volcano remains active. The bulletin advises following the engine manufacturer's advice and stresses that the FAA still advises against flight into any visible cloud of volcanic ash. It also urges getting definitive information on operational limits from European regulators and to report any adverse effects of flight through the ash to the respective type certificate holders of the aircraft and the engines. Boeing's torture tests on the 787 Dreamliner continue. The plane has begun extreme weather testing at Valparaiso, Florida, in a special hangar at the McKinley Climatic Laboratory at Eglin Air Force Base. Temperatures during the tests will range from 115 degrees Fahrenheit to as low as 45 below zero. Dreamliner Program Chief Scott Fancher notes, quote, "We have Dreamliner customers who will operate the 787 in a wide variety of environments throughout the world. This testing is about ensuring that the airplane meets the expectations of our customers," unquote. The testing in Florida is expected to last almost 2 weeks. Up next on ANN, the X-37 is in orbit, but we don't know why or for how long. DOT says keeping NextGen on schedule will be tough. And the Joe Stack IRS attack spawns another lawsuit. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 26th. I'm Paul Plack. The U.S. Air Force's X-37B unmanned spacecraft is in orbit following a successful launch Thursday from Cape Canaveral. The launch time, which was kept vague beforehand, turned out to be 7:52 p.m. Eastern Time. The duration of the mission, as well as its full specific objectives, remain secret. The craft was built by Boeing. Dennis Muilenburg, president and CEO of Boeing Defense, Space and Security, commented, quote, "The X-37B has the potential to bring to space the flexibility that unmanned systems provide warfighters and combatant commanders today," unquote. The vehicle is 29 feet long and has a wingspan of about 14 feet. The X-37B is designed to stay in orbit as long as 270 days. The U.S. House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee on Aviation heard testimony last week in which the Department of Transportation warned it'll be tough to keep next-gen ATC on schedule. In prepared remarks, DOT Inspector General Calvin Scovell warned, quote, "Key multi-billion-dollar programs have experienced problems, and FAA has yet to fully determine their next-gen-specific requirements. One critical step to avoid risks with next-gen's cost, schedule, and capabilities is addressing gaps in partner agencies' research and development efforts and long-term budgets and plans. We identified actions that can be taken now to strengthen the multi-agency approach, better leverage financial research projects, and prevent duplicative efforts, unquote. Dr. Carlin Toner, director of the FAA's Joint Planning and Development Office, added that by 2025, the expectation is that the air traffic system will still rely on pilots and air traffic controllers, but their roles will be different than they are today, and may be different from what is currently predicted. A person who suffered second-degree burns over 25% of his body in Joe Stack's crash of a small plane into a building in Austin, Texas on February 18th, is suing the pilot's estate. Stack left a lengthy manifesto online about his troubles with the IRS, which had offices in the building. The Austin American Statesman reports that Shane Hill has filed a lawsuit seeking unspecified damages against Stack's estate for physical pain, mental anguish, and physical impairment. Hill's attorney, Jeff Boyd, explained, quote, "We believe that Mr. Stack had an insurance policy to cover his plane and his actions as a pilot," unquote. Still ahead, Australia will let Jeppesen design procedures. An air traffic controller is jailed in a drug bust. And can a computer manage better than Marion Blakey did? You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, April 26th. I'm Paul Plack. Australia has recognized Jeppesen's expertise by awarding it certification to design, validate, and maintain instrument flight procedures in that country. The company will now be legal to create performance-based navigation procedures, including required navigation performance, special aircraft and aircrew authorization required, and conventional VOR, ILS, and RNAV. Jeppesen holds similar procedure design certification with the U.S. FAA and has experience designing procedures in other regions, including China, Taiwan, New Zealand, and Panama. The Hays County, Texas Narcotics Task Force reports observing bags being loaded from a plane into an SUV at the San Marcos Airport. When they pulled it over last Wednesday night, they alleged the 16 duffel bags held 850 pounds of marijuana, one of the largest busts ever in the county. What makes this an aviation story is the three people in the SUV who were arrested. Authorities say one of them was the pilot of the plane, who was also an air traffic controller, Joe Frank Corder of Wimberley, Texas. He was jailed on $80,000 bail. The driver and an unidentified juvenile were also arrested. And finally today, the National Air Traffic Controllers Association has been pretty quiet since it finally got a negotiated contract with Randy Babbitt's FAA. And some of us are beginning to miss the entertaining hyperbole which had come to fill our news days. I think my all-time favorite may be a news conference held by the union on January 9th of 2008, in which it declared a staffing emergency at four TRACONs. That was, of course, a purely theatrical term with no official standing, but it stemmed from the union's insistence that the FAA was using bogus staffing targets for its facilities, derived from how many controllers the agency could muster rather than how many were actually needed for safety. The FAA's official line in those days was always that the old, higher staffing numbers the union cited were arrived at in labor negotiations and not through any scientific analysis of the need. Well, now, as happens in many stories about management and government, an opportunity has arisen for the private sector to make a buck. The FAA has awarded a contract to Quintique for computerized air traffic control employee scheduling. The Quintique software will provide an objective method for evaluating staffing required for safe and efficient operations. The 9-year deal has a potential maximum value of $17.6 million. The software will streamline management of shift assignments, vacations, and sick leave, and even allow controllers the flexibility to swap shifts with willing coworkers by enabling managers to quickly assess the impact on operations of each of those requests. Hopefully, this will all make for a happier workforce and less union unrest. But it sure is less dramatic to write about. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves addresses mesmerization by glass cockpits. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.